It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of the upcoming guests, as well as our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast and our most recent op-eds. It is Wednesday, hump day. You've made it. Producer Steve, it's one of your favorite days.
Yeah, I don't know where that camel is. Normally he's here.
Took the morning
off. He's here before me on a Wednesday, but not today.
Not today.
What a bum.
He took the day off. He figured it was hump day and he was going to take the day off. So a big show planned for you today. We're going to go through some headlines in this first segment. We'll be talking with Hal Van Herke with Castlegate Knife and Tool. He is a proud new sponsor of the Kim Munson Show, and just get his take on some of the things that are happening out there in America, in Colorado right now. Second segment, Matt Durkin. He is district attorney candidate for Gilpin and Jefferson counties. These races, Steve, as we continue to move closer and closer to election time, we see these races are among some of the most important in the country.
I think it's cool that all these guys that you're giving some airtime to, the discussion is essentially the same in terms of the security of our communities and rising crime rate. It has to be what's on everybody's mind.
Oh, most definitely, because there's no way you can go out and pursue your hopes and your dreams and your happiness if you don't have safe communities. So we'll talk with Matt Durkin about that in the second segment. Third and fourth segment, this is our health and hydrocarbon show. And hydrocarbons are actually efficient and affordable and reliable energy is one of the things that helps us power, again, our dreams, our pursuit of our happiness. And once again, Steve, the oil and gas industry is under assault, coming in kind of backdoor through rules and regulations. And so we'll talk with Chelsea Miera. She is the executive director of the West Slope Colorado Oil and Gas Association, and she's been in a number of these hearings. And so we're going to get a firsthand look at what has been going on regarding that. It's been very subtle. There was a question on the ballot. The voters spoke. And then the politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, those PBIs, they said, oh, you know what? We're just going to kind of sneak around with rules and regulations now. So that'll be very important conversation in the third and fourth segment.
You know, we were away last week. We shared that. On our trip, which went through all these western states, obviously Wyoming, many people have seen the huge wind farms that are right over the Colorado-Wyoming border. But again, in Montana, huge, huge wind farms, you know, hundreds of these things out there. And it just makes you think, we are not against renewables when they are mature technologies. I think we say that almost every time the topic comes up. But what is happening, though, with the politicization, you say that word for me.
Politicization.
Thank
I'll
you.
Try.
of these ideas and these concepts, we are, I don't know. I have a good friend who works for the Western Area Power Authority, whatever. He's not an employee of Xcel or anything like that. It's this overall entity that oversees the power grid and mm-hmm. engineering and that kind of stuff. And the information he gives me back in terms of what these technologies mm-hmm. are currently doing versus what people think they're doing, they're miles apart. So this is very poignant that you're having this guest in the the second half of the show.
Yes, because again, reliable, efficient, and affordable energy. How we get that, I'm not sure that people care, but if we are moving to unaffordable, unreliable, and inefficient energy, that is not the way we want to be going. And so we'll be talking with Chelsea Miera on that in the third and fourth segment. It is the Grand Lake Annual U.S. Constitution Week. This is their ninth year that they are doing this. I will be up there tomorrow, and I will be presenting on suffragettes, feminism, and Freedom Girls. That'll be 4 o'clock there in Grand Lake. And then we'll be broadcasting from Grand Lake on Friday morning. So be sure and check that out. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. If something is a good idea, you should not need force to implement it. And since it is Constitution Week, September 17th is Constitution Day. That's tomorrow. I decided to quote James Madison because he's considered the father of the Constitution. He was an American statesman, diplomat, expansionist, philosopher, and founding father who served as the fourth president of the United States from 1809 to 1817. He's hailed as the father of the Constitution for his pivotal role in drafting and promoting the Constitution of the United States and the United States Bill of Rights. He was born in 1751. He died in 1836. And this is what he said. The safety and happiness of society are the objects of which all political institutions aim and to which all such institutions must be sacrificed. That was most interesting, Producer Steve. And I want to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That's Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And to each of your listeners, you are each treasured, valued. Strive for excellence today. Be the best version of yourself that you can be. And take care of your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your body. And not only do I get to work with this great team, I also get to work with great sponsors and partners. And on that line with me is Hal Van Herke. He is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is a family-owned business right in Sedalia. Hal Van Herke, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I am doing just fine. I would highly recommend that folks take a trip down to Sedalia. I love going down there on the weekend. There's some great restaurants down there. And just check out Castlegate Knife and Tool. It is a very impressive store, Hal.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, we're a family-owned business. We're a traditional old-school knife store. We carry most any knife that you would ever need, from either a pocket knife, camping knife, outdoor knife, kitchen knives, knives for specific trades, etc. Family-owned business, kind of run in a traditional style, decorated in a traditional old-school store style. We have about 3,000 different knives in stock. So that's at down in Sedalia, and you can check us out at www.castlegate.com.
Well, I'd highly recommend people do that. So, Hal, I wanted to ask, we're going to be talking with Matt Durkin, who is a candidate for district attorney in Jefferson and Gilpin counties. Community safety, it is so important for, you know, people to be safe in their homes, to be able to, you know, be safe with their businesses. And I know that that is something that is near and dear to your heart. And we are seeing such an assault on that right now. In fact, I'd heard a rumor that Antifa was planning on trying to stop traffic south of Castle Rock on I-25. And somebody said to me, well, I'm not sure Antifa could do any be any more effective than CDOT has been in stopping traffic between, you know, south of Castle Rock. But what's your thoughts on that, Hal?
Well, I agree with the CDOT comment, but that's another, yeah, but I live in that area. So, after that, kind of rumor went flying around, and you're right, this is something that's near and dear to my heart. We get a lot of questions about it in the store. A lot of people are buying knives and other personal defense weapons right now because of the increased violence in the U.S. But what I thought I would do, in the few minutes that we have here, is I've actually collected a group of resources that I'm going to post onto my castlegate.com blog. Okay. So if you go to castlegate.com and you look for news, the first thing I'm going to post on there is these are all under the theme of understanding and preparing for the ongoing militant leftist insurgency that we have going on in the United States. And this is the violence that's being, this is not your average peaceful BLM or other protests. This is talking about specifically a group of extreme left-wing organizations that advocate for the violent destruction of the United States. And the first thing I'm going to put up is something called Insurrection and Violence, a Citizen's Guide. It's a 50-page document that explains what's going on from a militant perspective, and how an average citizen can be more informed, and how they can help to prepare themselves. It's got dozens and dozens of links at the end of that document. And then I want to mention just a couple of groups real quick. On a national level, there's a group called American Contingency, which was founded by a guy named Mike Glover, who's a former U.S. Army Green Beret. He was a member of Delta Force, and he was a CIA Global Response Service member. He started a national group where it's a list of resources for individual preparedness and for finding people in your local community you can work with to help defend each other's homes, neighborhoods, et cetera. On a local level, there's a group called FEC United, which is short for Faith, Education, and Commerce, which is working to build awareness about the number of people that are fighting, you know, directly against core American values and trying to change us into a socialist or communist government. And they're very active in the Front Range, and I'll put some links there. And that's Faith, Education, and Commerce, FEC United. And then also in the Front Range, there's a group called Stand in the Gap Initiative by another former CIA Global Response Service and Navy SEAL by the name of Jimmy Graham. And that is to teach you how to build local community support teams in your neighborhood. And then two last ones. One, there's one called United American Defense Force, which was founded by John Tig Tiggin, who was one of the CIA operatives that went and rescued the remaining people in the embassy in Benghazi and got the remaining survivors out. He's got a group local to the Front Range that is actively standing up and peacefully confronting any violent protesters in our streets along the Front Range to discourage them from looting and causing damage in the streets. And I'll link to his group. And then lastly, there's a group, and this group is specifically looking for additional help. If you don't really feel like standing up and confronting people in the streets, there's the final group is called Field Operations Group, which works to provide these types of resources like the Citizen's Guide and to provide intelligence information and tracking and news on and track down rumors like the one that you had heard. It's called Field Operations Group. And I'll put a link into that, and it's more of gathering intelligence and research on what's going on in the U.S.
Wow, that's absolutely fascinating. So Hal Van Herkey, Castlegate Knife and Tool, again, how can people access this information you just referred to?
Yep, they can go to www.castlegate.com, and they can click on the news or blog page, and I'll have a list of resources up there for
okay.
them with links to each one of those organizations.
Fantastic. And Hal Van Herkey, you are a valued partner of the Kim Munson Show. Greatly appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay, have a great day. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, another one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants. They have 5 locations here in the metro area, and we actually have sports. It's nice to have some respite from all this craziness that's going on there. And so they have all kinds of specials. They have game day specials, which is Monday through Thursday, 6 p.m. to close, all day Saturday and Sunday. They have to-go specials and then a party pack if you want to have friends over to your house. Some great stuff there. So for more information, go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Matt Durkin. He is a candidate for district attorney for Jefferson and Gilpin counties. Again, we'll be talking about community safety. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And we'd appreciate it if you go over to Facebook and give us a like. Also, on the line with me is Matt Durkin. And Matt is a candidate for district attorney in Jefferson and Gilpin counties. And these races, my friends, are among some of the most important. I think over the years, people didn't really realize, that a district attorney, it's such an important position for to seek justice, impartial justice. And Matt Durkin, I know that you want to seek justice. You're not really a politician. You are really there. You want to serve the community. Matt Durkin, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me back in. That's exactly right. I have dedicated my professional career nearly 25 years to put public safety over politics, to make sure that we get justice in each and every case.
And Matt Durkin, what we are seeing across America with these Soros bought and paid for district attorneys, and when I say that, George Soros, last election cycle, I think really targeted, I guess this was 4 years ago, 12 different races where he poured money into these district attorney races, and he was successful in 10 of those races, is my understanding. And then we're seeing these Soros bought and paid for DAs in cities like Chicago and St. Louis and Baltimore, where these district attorneys kind of pick and choose which laws that they're going to prosecute and which ones they're not. And that's so far beyond the impartial justice that we're supposed to have in America.
You're right. You're exactly right. And in fact, it was about this time, maybe to the day, that 4 years ago, that George Soros put $1.4 million or began to put $1.4 million into this race here in Jefferson and Gilpin counties. It was about 4 weeks before the ballots dropped, and that's when George Soros ended up spending over $1 million in this race.
Do you think he's going to be playing in this race this year, or do you know?
We don't know, and that's what we do know is that it's a possibility, and whatever money we raise and whatever efforts we undertake, we're always going to be $1 million behind because George Soros is lurking around every corner.
So Matt Durkin, community safety. And, you know, people are really paying attention to this now. We've taken, I think, community safety for granted. And it used to be that you'd heard a story about somebody that somebody else knew. I'm starting to hear stories about community safety that people I know. I have a very good friend whose son was working a second job at one of the craft stores here in the South Metro area. And somebody was trying to steal something, and he tried to stop them. And the guy turned around and beat him up. And my friend's son ended up in the hospital overnight and will have to see a facial trauma specialist surgeon because he had so many lacerations and broken bones in his face. And this is no longer, I knew somebody who this happened to. This happens to somebody that is near and dear to my heart. And this is terrifying to me, Matt Durkin.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that. And what I imagine, Kim, is that this is probably in a business that that is commonly frequented by people doing the ordinary chores around the weekend. Crime is not just in the deep downtown areas, although it is spiking there by leaps and bounds. So Denver's about to have the deadliest year it's had in decades. Obviously, other communities are suffering from a huge increase in murders as well. But crime is seeping into our communities and out here in the suburbs, and certainly here in Jefferson and Gilpin counties. It's been creeping up for a very long time. Since 2013, we have seen an increase in murders and violent crime and property crime that has caused a huge influx of crime here in Jefferson and Gilpin counties.
Well, and speaking of property crimes, again, I was with some people last week, and some people that had traveled from California where they were on a road trip, and they were in Boulder. They said in South Boulder, in a nice area. Now, they had left their, I guess she left her phone and her wallet in the car, broad daylight, midday, nice area. You know, I think that they, probably ran into the house, their friend's house. And so the criminal went by, saw that there, and figured, well, you know what? There might be a key here as well. They were traveling. They had the extra key in the car. And the car was stolen. Her wallet was stolen. Her phone was stolen. And this was broad daylight, nice area in Boulder. And again, this kind of crime, it truly affects her life. She said, you know, if I don't have my phone and I don't have my wallet, my credit cards, my driver's license, it really makes a difference in how you function. And there's more and more of this crime happening as well, Matt, in quote unquote nice areas.
Absolutely. We have car thefts that are up by huge percentages across Colorado, certainly in the Denver metro area. It causes probably over $170 million, if not more, loss to consumers here in Colorado, which is a significant proportion per person. You know, Kim, we had an employee of our office who parked at the courthouse, had two of her tires stolen off of her car at the Jefferson County Courthouse. So crime is certainly happening everywhere, including at the Jefferson County Courthouse.
Well, certainly criminals are emboldened when they don't think that they will be prosecuted for crimes. Now, we talked about Denver and that they, and tragically, will have probably the deadliest year in many years. And that crime can creep, obviously, into other parts of the metro area. But it is important to have DAs in other areas that are standing up to prosecute crimes. And that is why, even though, because of what's happening in Denver, I think we will see these upticks, the kind of this emboldened criminal activity, there needs, you know, what people need is somebody like you standing there to make sure that you are working towards community safety and seeking justice, Matt Durkin.
Well, thank you very much. And certainly we are in one of the most consequential elections of our lifetimes. And we have a strong prosecutor's office here in Jefferson and Gilpin counties. We need to keep it that way. And certainly the good work that we do is only basically with shoulder to shoulder with our amazing and brave men and women in law enforcement who run to the crime, not running away from it. They run to the crime to protect our community. And of course, we take their great work and take it into the courtroom so that we can all make sure that we have a safe community here in Jefferson and Gilpin counties.
So, Matt Durkin, I have another question for you. And again, close to my heart, Françoise Bergen is a councilwoman in Aurora. And she really, you know, she really seeks to do it. She works hard, does a good job. And there were protesters that went to her home this last weekend because they are, you know, seeking justice in this Elijah McClain case, which we want justice there. That, you know, definitely we want to go through that process. But when we are starting to have, and you're seeing again this happen across the nation, where you have people that are going in, protesters, close to rioters, that are trying to intimidate people at their homes. We also saw this down in Colorado Springs recently. That's beyond peaceful protesting. What's your thoughts on that, Matt Durkin?
Well, what we have seen is George Soros DA in St. Louis, who basically rewarded rioters who tore down fences to try to access, I think it was the St. Louis mayor in that neighborhood. And as they were basically rolling through that neighborhood, the St. Louis DA chose to prosecute homeowners who were trying to defend their property. Now, at the same time, that same George Soros DA refused to prosecute, I believe it was about 300 rioters for the tickets that they had received for doing the damage that they had done. We're seeing similar types of acts of violence or threatened acts of violence in places like Portland, where they marched on the Portland mayor, causing him to move so that they would not damage his property or the property of their neighbors. And so certainly there is a difference between protesting and then criminal activity, which takes shape in the form of threats. It takes shapes in the form of criminal or damage to property. And certainly we have seen it obviously takes the shape in physical assault and sometimes even murder when things get out of hand. So there is a difference between protected First Amendment protest, which we all hold near and dear to our hearts, and criminal activity, which is damaging property and hurting people.
Okay, last thought on all this, Matt Durkin, is this is Constitution Week. And the Founding Fathers thought a lot about justice. And that is why they have in the Constitution due process. And due process is going through the procedure. Granted, you know, we're not perfect. It's an exceptional system of government. The Constitution is exceptional. It's not perfect because we have human nature. But for us to move over to this intimidation and mob justice or lack of justice, that is not the direction we want to go in America. We want to stay true to this Constitution, due process, impartial justice. That's what we want to seek. That's our ideal on that, Matt Durkin. What's your final thought?
Oh, goodness. So the Constitution is the framework, the foundation. It is our country. It's not just some outdated document. It is exactly what our country is about, and that particularly in matters of criminal justice, that there is due process, that there is probable cause, that there are impartial, thorough investigations into every case, no matter who that defendant or that victim may be, that they each get a fair investigation, and that is what our country is based on, is seeking justice with law and order, not by mob rule. And so if we have district attorneys who are going to bow to the mob and not pursue those fundamental principles of the Constitution, we are left with chaos.
So, Matt Durkin, I'm recommending that people, it's past Labor Day now, everybody's paying attention. I was at a group of people last night, and they're like, what can we do? And I said, adopt a candidate. And I know that you are up for being adopted, and what that would mean is, you know, help possibly financially, walk the neighborhoods, make some phone calls, maybe text messages, write out some notes. You know, just every little bit helps, because if, in fact, Soros comes in here late and puts a bunch of money in there, you need to have the infrastructure, which I know you've got a lot of people helping you now, but even more, if people want to adopt you, how can they do it?
Absolutely, Kim. I would love to be adopted. Please go to durkinforda.com. That is durkinforda.com to contribute and give us an email. We are walking. We are making calls. We are going door to door, block to block, neighborhood to neighborhood, to make sure that people, we communicate our message of putting public safety over politics to get justice in each and every case to every voter in Jefferson and Goodman counties.
Okay, Matt Durkin, thank you so much. We'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Thank you, Kim. Have a great day.
You bet. And Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, is on the line with me. Jason, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kim.
I wanted to ask you, what happened? Did the market say anything about, I was watching yesterday on television, President Trump as he presided over the signing of these two Middle East deals between Israel and Bahrain and Israel and the United Arab Emirates? It's truly amazing, Jason McBride, that before the election, there were pundits and politicians and people out there saying that Donald Trump would get us into a third world war. And yet yesterday he presided over these peace accords. It is pretty amazing. Did the market say anything about it?
Yeah, I remember that. And I remember him telling Hillary in the debates that his temperament was excellent and wonderful, and everybody laughed at him. But it kind of turned out to be true, didn't it?
It did kind of turn out to be true. Did the markets like it, or what did they say?
Yeah, I don't, you know, if they said anything, they didn't say it extremely loudly. That's for sure, Kim. The Dow ended up positive by a whopping 2 points yesterday. It was higher at 1 point during the day and then gave back, quite a bit of the gains. It was up a couple hundred points and then ended up only 2 points. The NASDAQ, Kim, ended up about 133 and had a little bit better performance than the Dow. And if you look at the indexes right now, there's some positive things. As you know, we did have a little bit of a nasty pullback over the last couple of weeks. Most of the indexes came right down to their 50-day moving average, which generally would provide some type of support. So that's a positive if they can hold above that support line, Kim. You know, I'd say we have a little bit of a pressure on the market. I talk about the distribution days mm-hmm. when the market is down on heavier volume than the previous day. We've had five of those on the S&P 500 and three on the NASDAQ, which is not severe yet, but it's enough where you start watching a little bit closer. If we were to see several more of these distribution days show up, plus a break below the recent lows and the 50-day moving average, that could be troublesome, at least for the short term. And frankly, it wouldn't be surprising. September and October are generally not the best months for the market anyway.
So now's a good time to kind of take your temperature regarding risk in your portfolio. Jason McBride, I just wanted to mention one other thing. Patty had found these two headlines that I thought was interesting. Kamala Harris yesterday actually, I was listening to somebody last night, they said it was not a Freudian slip. She was actually reading from a teleprompter. She referred to what things would look like under a Harris administration. And which I found very telling. And then Patty had found this other piece. This was from the National Pulse, that Kamala Harris's husband, his firm, represents a number of the Chinese Communist Party-owned corporates. And so I see that there is a stark choice that we have this election cycle. Your quick thought on that, Jason McBride.
You know, I guess it's shocking that it's not even shocking that you saw these articles and that that's occurring. I think it's a very stark choice as well. I think the left has made their intent very clear. Biden is simply a placeholder, and Harris couldn't even garner a few percent or any interest when she was running for president on her own. So I'm not sure why anybody would want her to be next in line.
I know. And her voting record is as the next Elizabeth Warren is among the most leftist activists in the Senate. So Jason McBride, people can reach you at 303-694-1600. Now's a good time to take your portfolio temperature. And again, that's 303-694-1600. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Chelsea Miera, and she is the executive director of the West Slope Oil and Gas Association. She has been in a number of these different meetings and hearings regarding rulemaking that is kind of very subtly making it more difficult to have affordable, reliable, and efficient energy. So we'll be right back with our Health and Hydrocarbon Show.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all the upcoming guests as well as our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts and our most recent op-eds. On the line with me is Chelsea Miera, and she is the executive director of the West Slope Colorado Oil and Gas Association. Chelsea, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Ms. Munson. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You have been watching this very closely. Patty, our researcher, had found a couple of headlines which are very concerning, because, Chelsea, people, I think, take affordable, reliable, and efficient energy for granted. And when you start to make that more and more expensive for people, they have less money for other things in their lives. And so there had been the ballot question, I think, was it 112?
Where, Proposition 112, yeah, in 2018.
In 2018, people said no to making our energy less reliable and more expensive. But yet what we've seen under this administration and this legislature is that kind of very subtly there's rules and regulations that they're entertaining that people aren't paying attention to, but it is really going to affect affordable, reliable, and efficient energy here in Colorado. So break this down for us, Chelsea.
That's exactly right. And I would say being so close to the conversation, it doesn't feel so subtle.
Sure.
It feels very direct. So in this administration and the legislature's response to Proposition 112 being defeated, they didn't love that, although many of them, you know, came out and opposed the full-out 2,500-foot setback, which was the de facto ban on oil and gas when you looked at a map, and how much would have been redded out by that setback. It was very substantial, 90-some percent. They passed in the 2019 legislature Senate Bill 181, Senate Bill 19-181, and it was focused at the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission and also other regulators we have through the state, but COGCC is what they're called, is our main regulator in the state of Colorado. And even before 2018, 2019, we have the most stringent regulations on oil and gas in the entire country here in Colorado, and something we should be proud of, right? We do it, but we do it well. We make sure that our neighbors are taken care of, that the public health and environment are taken care of, their wildlife is protected. But there was obviously a feeling that that wasn't being done enough or correctly enough. And so this Senate bill directed an entire change of the mission of the COGCC. And so the best way I can figure out to explain it it's easy to explain it by saying we are revising every single regulation on oil and gas in this state. And it's not that we are adjusting the dial a bit or rephrasing things or taking lessons learned and adding some different rules or adjusting from there. We are wholesale revising every regulation in a much more tough way. And I would say with these proposals that we've been working with the COGCC expert staff on for the last 12, 18 months on with industry and other environmental stakeholders at the table as well. Industry was probably, 80, 85% okay with it and had, had conversations on some really tough topics and how to dial those pieces in to make sure that we had a workable industry in the state so that we could, to your point, provide this very necessary resource in oil and natural gas. And over here on the Western Slope, we're a dry gas basin. So we provide in capacity as much natural gas as we need in this state. And then we're able to help those neighbors in our country with their natural gas supplies. And so we were getting there. Last week, the conversation took a very bad turn. And because this is an administrative regulatory process, the focus of the public was not on this because mm-hmm. there's not a whole lot you can do. And they, the commissioners, these governor-appointed commissioners with the COGCC suggested a 2,000-foot setback. So I think that's what today's conversation could and should focus on, is this new proposal for a 2,000-foot setback with the remeasurement that they're suggesting turned into more of a 2,300, 2,400-foot setback, so almost carbon copy of what voters defeated in Prop 112.
Now, is this just 2,000 or, whatever that number is going to be? Is that from schools or, what's the proposal that the commission is entertaining?
Yeah, as it was discussed last week, it's by any occupied structure.
Really?
So any building that would have one person in it within that 2,000-foot or closer to 2,300 feet setback. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so we had gone through some rulemakings to that point, a few, 12, 18 months ago to make sure that we had added protections on our schools, and additional buffers, additional mitigation processes.
So, Chelsea, it sounds to me like what is happening, there's more information just from the headlines that Patty had pulled from last week then, that this is getting back to the very draconian things that people defeated in 2018. But because it's going through the administrative component, most people are not paying attention. But this would really, I mean, oil and gas has really, the industry has gotten kicked around a lot already. And of course, then we had all the other things that happened back in March with COVID, and then the Russians and the Chinese, or the Russians and the, was it Saudis? OPEC. I think it was.
OPEC. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm actually a little flabbergasted. I did not realize that this had even gotten more draconian from the headlines that Patty had pulled.
It's exactly right. It went from a workable process, and what our industry needs and our companies who have very good women and men who live, work, and play in these communities, too, they just need some clarity, one, and some rational regulatory structure. They need a path to success. Our industry steps up to the plate each and every time. How to make workable sites so that it is there are less issues around development. We all understand any energy source has impact. I think our industry is probably overly aware of our impacts versus other energy sources, but every energy source we utilize has impacts. Mm-hmm. We work really hard to make sure that we mitigate those, and we do that, and we do it well. It just became very clear last week how politically based this specific decision is, and being made by unelected bureaucrats who it seems like could care less about the jobs of hardworking women and men in our state. This discussion point is not an intelligent and thoughtful policy decision that's based on science and data.
So, Chelsea Mira, let's go to break, because when we talk about health and hydrocarbons, I think we take it for granted. And when I see what's been happening out in California with these forest fires, what that has done to the air, and I really think a lot of that is because of forest mismanagement. But here, California has been the state that is moving towards more and more and more green energy, but yet through these forest fires are contributing significantly to pollution in our air that's blowing over to the other states. And so my point on this, Chelsea, is that affordable, reliable, and efficient energy, clean coal, clean natural gas, what the oil and gas industry has done, we've taken it for granted. We need to be very careful about what's happening with these unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats. So Chelsea Mira, Executive Director of West Slope Oil and Gas Association. Stay tuned. Stay on the line. We'll be right back.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of the upcoming guests and our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts and op-eds. On the line with me is Chelsea Miera. She is the executive director of the West Slope Colorado Oil and Gas Association. She lives out in Grand Junction. Chelsea, as I was thinking about this through the break, you're a mom, I'm a mom. And reliable, efficient, and affordable energy makes moms' lives a lot better. Can you know, tell us a little bit more about what oil and gas does for us moms?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something, like you were mentioning, it's easy to take for granted when you go to turn on a light or, you know, as we've all worked through stay-at-home orders and probably turned on the TV for our kiddos a little bit more than they should have been. It makes our society function, and it also makes our life expectancy longer. I mean, the power that comes from natural gas and our oil here in the state is what has kept hospitals powered up through this health crisis. Mm-hmm. It's what we're able to, you know, plug our computers in as we've had to figure out how to teach our kiddos at home. It keeps our food cold in the refrigerator. It keeps our, you know, as we head into glorious fall, it will soon turn into very cold winter. And it's what keeps our homes and cools it in the hot summers. And it's just something that is so reliable because we do have such a great source of it, especially here in Colorado, that when it's so available and, you know, our energy costs are really low here in Colorado, which is great. This is inarguably the worst time to raise power costs on, you know, families who are right now worried about keeping their job and working paycheck to paycheck more than ever before. This is the worst time to raise energy costs for those of us, you know, working hard throughout the state. And it's the worst time to put hardworking men and women in our industry out of work as we're facing historic unemployment numbers.
Yeah, it really is a question mark in my mind when we look at the of course, the administrative state that you just mentioned, where unelected bureaucrats, they're unaccountable, that they can make these decisions. That's really not the way it's supposed to be in a representative government. And I really think that we need to work to walk that back, where the people that are making those decisions are held accountable at the ballot box. I think that that is really, really important. And ultimately, it is kind of, because you mentioned that the governor is the one that actually appoints all of these people. So if we're looking at the ballot box, you know, there is some respite there, but it insulates these elected representatives, these politicians. It insulates them from these decisions when you have these unelected folks over there making them, Chelsea.
It sure does. And these folks, this is a new professional commission. This is a new structure that was part of that Senate Bill 181 I was speaking of. So they were appointed and put on the job July 1st. And I think that
like 2 months, just like
more,
a, like just like 6 weeks ago. Boy, it didn't take long.
Yeah. Huh? So they're 60-day experts, and they are very intelligent people, just not in a very technical industry like oil and gas. I mean, it's an extremely technical industry, and their expert staff who've been with the COGCC for decades had a proposal very different than what they started talking about last week. And so, you know, these 60-day professionals are now spitting in the face of their expert staff with this new proposal that doesn't have any data or science behind it. I mean, when you looked at Prop 112 and even in 2014 with proposals that Governor Polis now, but Congressman Polis in 2014 withdrew himself because he saw the economic damage that those proposals would do. Those are based on maps and information, and people could make their choices. We have no maps on this decision. We have no data. They don't know what the impact of this choice would be. And you know, unfortunately, we have a decent idea, but nobody knows exactly how damaging it will be.
So Chelsea Miera, I'm very, very concerned. You know, I really care about everyday hardworking Coloradans, everyday hardworking people, and these subtleties. And when I say subtle, like you mentioned, it's not subtle to you because you've been there watching that. But as I'm looking out the window and seeing the cars, you know, going up and down the road, these are people, you know, trying to get their kids to, you know, where they, well, hopefully they're going to school and going to jobs and all.
We are over here.
Yeah. People don't understand that this is happening out there, that if because of these rules and regulations, and I always say at the beginning of our show that it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, unpredictable in its excessive taxation, or fear. So this goes under that policy that as they put in these policies, it's subtle in a way because people's energy costs are going to go up, which means that they'll have to make different choices with other things out there. And it doesn't have to be that way. It, you know, we have the opportunity for affordable, reliable, and efficient energy. And we should not be making decisions that get in the way of that, Chelsea Miera. We've got just probably about 3 minutes left. What's kind of the final thoughts on this? And is there anything that we everyday people can do about it, Chelsea?
Yeah, and there is still ways that we can affect change in this. This is not a final decision yet, which I appreciate you highlighting this today. The governor needs to hear from us. And there's emails. You can tweet him. I've heard he's very good at reading his tweet strings and when he's tagged in them. The email he and this professional Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, and let them know your concerns about this. When you talk about affordability, that's definitely one thing, but your reliability point is one that we can't dismiss. You look at California's policies, and they've been asked throughout the summer to turn off their major appliances at certain times of the day and had rolling brownouts where power is just not available to them. And that's not how a functioning developed world should be. No matter what. And so we need to get ahead of this. We need to show the Colorado way is still to come to the hard topics with consensus and compromise. And industry is willing and has been at the table for that. And this administration needs to get back there. It's important for folks throughout the state that rely on our industry, whether it's for a job or for our energy that we provide into our homes, our businesses, our schools, and our hospitals, to show up and have our voices heard yet again. This issue is not going away, and we need to remind the governor how we all voted.
Well, and for sure, and you mentioned these rolling blackouts. I've heard that about California, and that is irresponsible of politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties to get to a point where that occurs. That is just irresponsible. And what we have happening here in Colorado with kind of this assault on the oil and gas industry is and it seems like many times some of these people, these PBIs here in Colorado, want to be like California. We don't want to be like California. We want to be Coloradans, you know, those
exactly
rugged,
right,
individualistic Coloradans, creative, innovative, and have reliable and affordable and efficient energy. So once again, Chelsea Miera, tell people what they can do to try to make a difference on this.
Yeah, I would encourage everybody, and the deadline is looming quickly, so sooner than later, I would hope that once you stop driving and out of your car, email the governor, tell him 2,000 foot setbacks are unacceptable. It's an arbitrary number on our oil and gas industry, and they need to come back to data and science-based decisions.
Okay, Chelsea Miera, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate you joining me this morning and shedding light on this, and it was very timely. It was more timely than I even realized, so thank you for joining us.
Well, I thought you you had it all together, so thanks for having me, and it was a pleasure.
Okay, thanks, Chelsea. Have a great day. And our quote for today, again, James Madison, because it is Constitution Week, and he is considered the father of the Constitution, says, "The very definition of tyranny is when all powers are gathered under one place." So my friends, today, today. Be grateful. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Climbing, twisting, turning further from my home.